on the cloud. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wim Hof Wednesday, live from Poland. Well, Michal is going to share and have a presentation for us about business modeling and his experience and how he will incorporate it to his own Wim Hof future. So take it away, Michal.
Okay, so I will start. I just wanted to say that we have only 25 minutes for the main part. So as much as I would love to talk about myself, I would like to give you as much value as possible for the time being, basically. So my intention for you is to give you a follow-along process in the presentation that I will share in a moment. And basically, I will share it later on, and you can actually follow along if you'd like to create your own one or just take mine and implement it yourself. I don't care. Be my guest. So you can use that as it is. And I understand that some of you might have not ever worked on their own business models or even had zero basically experience with it. So I tried to be as simple and as straightforward as possible. That's why I chose a framework that I basically took from a book and from a framework called Business Model Canvas. And I did a presentation about it, about every step, so that it will be clear and quite simple. So it's not going to be overcomplicated for you guys. So I will now share a screen. First, just tell me if everything's okay, if you will see. Okay, do you see it?
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Perfect.
Awesome. So I'm gonna do a suicide by PowerPoints because there will be quite a lot of text, not actually any pictures, because I would like for you to have later on a possibility to actually review it and follow along with the steps from the presentation on your own if you'd like. So I'm too lazy to actually do two of them. So basically a business model is a framework of how your business works and makes money. And so if you were on the call last week, you were actually listening about what it is to be a Wim Hof instructor and what it means to actually working in the business of being a Wim Hof method instructor, right? So the difference of what we are going to basically work on now is business models is a part of business when we work not in the business, but on the business. Good business people and entrepreneurs actually divide these two, because as much as we love to work in the business and do all the nitty gritty, because of course we do all things the best as possible. But it is quite important for us to sometimes just, you know, zoom out a little bit and see the bigger picture and work on the business of how we can tweak it and how we can arrange it. And we can see where it's going. What is the course that we and our business is going to. So this is the difference. So key components of a business model, I basically borrowed it from Business Model Canvas, and I've segmented it into nine different steps, and we will go through every step at a way, which I will cover. Simple questions that you need to answer in order to actually fill in this the segment, the part, and then I will show you what I have put for myself and for my business model for the Wim Hof Method instructor business. Let's call it like this. Does that sound good for you guys?
Good.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. So
yes, yeah. Thank you.
After every let's call it key component, we can stop and you can ask one or two questions if you feel like there's something you need to have more clear or just want to ask. Okay, so we will start with, and I even color coded it, so you know it's the client segment. So the client segment is you have to answer the question, what is the type of client you want to provide your services to, basically, right? And how I divided it is two types of clients, basically. You can cater to direct to consumer, which is to a precise group of people like individuals, or business to business, to other businesses, basically, right? A specific type of companies, their employees or customers. And client segmentation and client basically niching is a topic for, I would say, another presentation, an hour and a half probably. So I won't delve into it a little more because it's all of us probably have a different experiences and different kind of environment that we work with and we work in, so our client groups can a little bit differ. But if you would like in the future for me to do only a client segment or a client avatar, how we can create a client avatar for your specific needs or a group or your business, we can do that as well. I can prepare a second presentation for that as well. Does that sound good? Does that sound clear for now?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's a great, sorry to interrupt. I think it's a great idea because from my experience, I'm also have my own business for like 10 or 11 years now.
Yeah.
And talking and thinking about target audience is really one of the key components of how to set up your business and how to work.
Yeah.
So it would be really, really great.
Sure, we can do that as a let's call it a design sprint, basically for you guys. So it's not a problem for me.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much.
Maybe later on we can try to figure something out later. Yeah, okay. So the next portion will be value proposition. So the value proposition is what value do you want to provide to the client? What the needs are? What kind of needs you want to fulfill? You can divide them into emotional, physical, even spiritual at some point. What problem do you help to solve, right? And again, we could actually prepare a list of what kind of needs we want to cater to, because it's not only that we do Wim Hof method workshops, it's more about what the client fulfills through attending the workshop, what kind of experience and what kind of value he has from experiencing the value you provide, right? And you know, I figured out that maybe the easiest way for me to actually create a value proposition, we use a simple formula with one-liner basically. So I help teach who to solve help with what, so they can do what. This is quite simple and quite straightforward. And I will share with you what I have basically written down in my value proposition in this kind of formula, which my example is, I teach curious people Wim Hof method to help them reclaim their inner power to face everyday challenges and reconnection with themselves to live a more fulfilling lives. It's a straightforward, simple one-liner where you can actually say it on when you meet someone and they ask you, okay, what is it that you do? Or what is it that you provide, right? Does that sound clear?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm very passive, I would say.
Sorry, Dario?
I was saying that it's very clear and also very effective, very compelling.
You can have fun with it, right? So if you have any further any questions about it, you can hit me up on private message on WhatsApp or something. and you can ask me about your value proposition, about what we can, how we can work on it as well. Are there any questions from at this point for about it? Okay, great. Okay, the next stop will be channels. And the channels are all about how do you find the potential clients? How do they get to know about you and what you do? In marketing, we can call it, what are the points of contact of your potential client with you and your brand? And what I've figured out is a simple list of things that come to mind at the first glance, which is your website, your social media accounts, your newsletter, your partners, personal contacts, contact referrals, your YouTube channel and blog, which is actually a strategy for content creation and knowledge sharing, which is quite a viable marketing strategy as well, and events that you attend, and guest speaking, because sometimes maybe you will be able to actually do some speaking engagements for other people, or some people who provide complimentary services as well. And yeah, does this sound clear for you? Do you have any questions?
Clear.
Yes, Daria?
No, just said clear.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah. Yeah, okay.
And that's the reason why I stopped my video. It is my little cute baby, and I didn't want her to distract you. So
okay. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, okay. So the next stop would be, what kind of clients relations do you want to have? Do you want to establish with the clients? And I think that you can basically differ them when it comes to the segments of clients that you want to cater to. You will have a different kind of relationship with a regular client that you have, like in a direct to consumer or direct to the client. And you will have a different kind of relationships with a corporate client, with a business that you want to cater to, or the clients or their employees as well. And I've divided that as a sort of a guideline a little bit that I think is something that I would like to do. Of course, you can always change it a little bit if you think that you can do it a little bit differently. For my client relations, for the direct to the consumer, to the client, I would say that I want to be more personal. I want to show myself as a guide, as a teacher. I want them to be more informal and direct. And I want to, on the long run, I would like to create a community of people who share the knowledge and experience, and then can, what we have now in a group, right? Which so that other people later on can add some value as well. When it comes to B2B, business to business relations, I think that it depends on the company culture, but I think you would have to be more professional and structured. So especially in communications with businesses, because it depends on the volume and on the scale of a business that you want to cater to, because you can basically go to corporations, or you can go to startups, and you have to figure out how do they want to communicate, and how it would be proper for you to actually communicate with them. But I would say that from my experience of selling to other businesses, you have to be a little bit more formal and more structured. So it might be beneficial for you to have like a template for an offer where you will have everything prepared, and you can actually prepare everything within one day, one working day, basically. So with an offer and with the structure, because they want to know what kind of money, what their money can buy actually from you right now. Does that sound clear for you?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the another part would be the coolest one or the most dreaded one, which we will look at, which means the revenue streams. It's basically how do you provide the value, and by that, how will you earn money? What kind of ways you can provide a value and earn money? And I figured out that for now, it will be usually Wim Hof Meta workshops, which are open for B2C. Later on, if I'll get more experience, I would like to go with Wim Hof Meta workshops for business and closed groups. Like for example, if someone has a group of friends that they want to have a closed workshop and has something special as well, that I can provide to them. I have my own workshop where I work with companies that work with breath and stress management, which differs from Wim Hof Method, but it's actually more suited from my perspective, it's more suited to businesses. The other thing is one-on-one coaching. And from what I hear, is quite lucrative and can be scalable as well, because usually you have people who will be able to pay a lot, much more for the value you provide. And then later on, I can go with online courses and products, which makes the business more scalable, right? Because it doesn't have to be live, and it can be recorded and then resold. I don't think it will be possible with Wim Hof Method, other than maybe some guided breath sessions. I'm not sure at this point if you are actually even allowed to do that. But later on, I will think about how to package it into a product that I can scale the business with. You know, so it will be a little bit on autopilot. So I can earn money while I will do the workshops, and I don't have to worry about earning a living, basically. The other thing is speaking engagements. I think that at some point, if you will get the notoriety, you will have you will be asked to speak on events, or maybe for companies as well. So you can now figure out, okay, so what kind of skills do I need to actually do that properly? As you can see, I don't have the presentation skills yet, so I will work on that as well. And later on, you know, you can have merchandise, you can have t-shirts, shit like this, whatever you like to sell. And later on, strategic partnerships, which means you will have partners that basically can provide clients to you, so you don't have to worry about marketing yourself. Does that sound clear for you guys?
Yes. Awesome. Can you elaborate a little bit more about strategic partnerships?
Yeah, sure. So when I think about partnerships, it will be later on, there will be a segment about that as well. But what I think about is, for example, you will work, I will work in different yoga studios and stuff like that. So sometimes they will have already a group for you, so you can just get in, do the workshop, and you don't have to worry about promotion, about organizing and all the logistics, because everything is taken care for you, basically. And what you can do is just relax and enjoy the process of leading the workshop. And later on, it's like what you have, what what Bart Prong did in Bulgaria, basically, right? He has a partnership. That's a perfect example at this point.
Michael, I have a question.
Sure.
For example, if you want to cooperate with yoga studio, how do you want to share the payment? I mean, for example, 30% for them because they arrange group and all this stuff, and you just come and do your work without any extra, you know, engagement of time, or maybe 20%. Do you have any experience with that?
I don't have any experience on that. I have two strategies that I would like to test. The first one is if they will bring clients, then I can share with them the profits. If not, I just want to pay a fixed fee for the venue. So I can basically figure out a way how to make it profitable for me, and how much budget I can use on providing more value for the clients, basically.
Okay, because now I arrange one kind of breathing workshop, mm-hmm. and I propose 30% for yoga studio, and I said, okay, I don't do nothing. I will just come 5 minutes before the event, and I will not talk with the clients, nothing, just like I'm rent to, and I will see how it happened, because it will be all after 1 month, so maybe it's okay, maybe it's worth to do this. I'm testing this now.
Sure, you can test, but I would say that for now, the deeper relationship you can have with the participants, especially at the start, is better for you, because you will get more referrals, because you are more relatable. Basically, people will have to know who you are in order to actually refer to you their friends, family, and stuff like that. Because it is more about who you are and the culture and the vibe you have than anything else. Because some people will come to you for the workshops because of you, not because of the merit. And some people will come to me because of me, because we are different as people, as trainers as well. So you have to consider this as well. I think it is very important for us in the basically in the promotion to actually show who we are in real life as well a little bit, so they can see, okay, I vibe with this person or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that sound clear?
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Mike,
quick one from myself, if I can.
Yeah. Sure.
You were describing this list, these bullet points, using the word later on. So it seems to me that you were considering to work on the strategic partnerships later on, right? So if that's correct, why would you think of something that you want to implement later rather than, let's say, right away or at the beginning of your, let's say, work on building up your revenue streams?
I believe that kind of partnerships that you build through the time, because you have to get to know your partner and see if they are reliable as well, because how they do their business, it will directly reflect on you as well. If the organizer will fuck up something on the in the process of organizing, they will be already pissed off, and it will transfer into you, so you will be on the loss as well. Even though they will pay, they will come, they can have like this expectation, or they can have this negative experience up until now. Because you have to remember, you don't sell workshops, you sell an experience. And experience starts with the first contact, when they see you, when they read about you, when they watch your, I don't know, whatever. This is how you build the experience. So I am not able to say from the start if they will actually be able to have this this level of service that I would like them to have.
Michael, can I mention something?
Sure. Go.
Yeah, there are two things I want to share. One is with the location that we are talking about the yoga studios. Mm-hmm. I did, and it worked. It's not always working, of course, but you can offer the yoga studios to put on the event's cover on Facebook a logo of the yoga studio and ask them if they are okay. Because what I do here, I do also find, and I have already media partnerships with some local magazines, websites that they have a lot of followers and are quite popular. Mm-hmm. So when I do the event promotion in these magazines and websites, the logo of the yoga studio, it's also on the event's cover. Mm-hmm. So I ask them as well, like, if they will be okay to not pay any money, but they get the promotion on all the these media partners that they have as well. And also they stay on the event cover where I put Facebook pay tat. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it works for them and they're okay. And yeah, you can also try this way of working with them. Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
Because, I don't know how is it working in your places, but here in Bulgaria, they also do other events and they don't really focus on pushing your workshop, really. So mm-hmm. I would suggest you start first really promoting yourself, the workshops. Don't expect that somebody else will do as good as you are going to do your job.
Yeah, that's why I said to Dario, at first you have to be in control of basically every contact point that people have with you and your workshops. Maybe it sounds counterproductive at the start, but I think it will have a compounding effect. You won't have the scale and the reach that you can have from the different, but later on. I believe that you will have a waiting list because people will even though you might have like four different instructors in your city, people would like to go to you because they know you and they like you.
And about the strategic partnership, because it's that's what I did with Bart, but I already have a lot of organizational skills with the events I'm organizing. So I know how to organize it. And I was at the workshop and I knew what it's needed to create a really nice experience for the people.
Sure.
But now the last time he came, there were so many things that fuck up with a partner that we did already six workshops there. And I couldn't believe it, you know, every moment there was something happening. And for me, that was a big lesson. But maybe it's good to share this experience about the locations, what to have in mind. Because it seems that even though you do in a place many times an event, things can fuck up still. But about the strategic partnership, now there are people from Varna and from Plovdiv, another cities in Bulgaria, so that they asked me already to make and create events there. And I do believe that even if people are, if they have the enthusiasm, really we can use this energy. No matter that they don't have maybe the experience, but if we give them all the information necessary and support them in the process and make sure that, you know, they understand step by step what they have to take care of, what to think of, then it could be really like, I don't know, I didn't taste it yet. We'll start now.
Sure.
But it could become a really partnership because they're two ladies. And they're really super enthusiastic about it. And I feel that there is an energy flow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's our job to support them as well to become a good strategic partnership.
Yeah, I would say that you would have to treat them like your employees. So you take the full responsibility.
Yes.
So you have to make a checklist, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, checklist. This point, this, and if not everything is basically ticked, that the event doesn't start. But
when you learn,
when you deal with people, you will realize that people will fuck up in places. You know, you will never figure it.
But that was I wanted to mention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna. You have more experience than all of us probably with this. So thank you for the input.
Yeah.
All right. Can I go next? Can I go further?
Yes, thank you.
Can I interrupt just because it was already mentioned now? Does anybody have like a checklist for events already? What to expect from a location, how to prepare, stuff like this?
Anna, I think.
I can do one session if you want me on location, especially because this weekend was really such a lesson for me.
Maybe you can share a document with what we yes. need to basically sure. have checked.
Okay. I have a checklist too. It's me. I can send it if you like in the yoga
awesome.
Studio.
Yeah, awesome. It would be great to like share it in the group for everybody.
Yeah, okay. Great.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Bernhard. Thank you. All right. So let's go further. Okay. So the key resources. When we think about key resources, you have to answer, what do you need to provide the value, the services in the best possible way right now, and how you would like to do it in the future as well, and what resources you already have that can leverage your services, your value. And at this point, I just throw it out there. I'm not sure if something comes up more. If you have any other ideas, just put it in here as well. And I divided them into two categories, which is one is physical and the other is intellectual. So the physical would be a space to do workshops, like Anna said, a venue where you can either rent it from someone or lease it, or maybe you have your own already. Probably some of you already have your own spaces as well. All the essential equipment, which will be probably in the checkpoint list as well. Some of it you have to provide, some of it the venue will have provided. If you have any other businesses that can actually leverage their own position and experience, maybe they have a client, you have already a client base that is related to what you do, you can always use it as well. Partners and helpers, you know, as they say, first money you have to borrow from family, friends, and fools, right? Three F's. And basically, this is how it works with first promotions and first marketing ploys. Let's call it like this, because you know they are your biggest supporters. I definitely hope that they are. The former clients, people who already know you, right? I actually have one group, one closed group that I will do a workshop for from my jiu-jitsu gym, from my group that I work, that I train with like almost every day. So I already have them, and they have friends and they have families that are interested right now. So sometimes you will have resources that will help you organize a workshop without even posting an event. You know, you already have it full. The other things, I don't know, you just have to figure out. Maybe you have something special in your resources that not anybody else has. And so this goes for the physical. And for the intellectual, you have to remember that you have the Wim Hof method brand behind you, which is quite powerful right now. And really, I think we are in the perfect position and perfect moment, because we are now at the cusp of this breaking into the mainstream. We have the certification, which we have to value, because we fucking really not only paid for it with our money, we pay with our emotions, with our physicality, and with hard work and dedication. Because you know, some of the people didn't wait for a year and a half to actually achieve it. So be proud of it. The Wim Hof method platform, especially from what they say at the start, it can really help. And from some of you guys who has shared stories on the WhatsApp group, it works. So great. Other resources that you can have are websites and social media accounts, right? Just, you know, don't overthink it. Just do something, create something. WordPress. On WordPress, you have templates that you can use. just prepare something. The other is kind of software. Do you have skills in software like Photoshop that you can prepare your own I don't know, leaflets or designs or whatever, other skills or knowledge that you can combine with it. I personally, I know Buteyko and Oxygen Advantage Plus. I do coaching. I'm a certified integral coach. So maybe later on, I will figure out a way how to implement these things into the Wim Hof method as well. Maybe I'll provide a longer experience where I can provide a process of a deeper transformation where Wim Hof method can be a part of. Another thing is social following, right? You can have like a couple of thousands of followers on Instagram because you do, or you have other interests, and you can share your new interests and your new things on that as well. This is a key resource that people usually don't think about, but this is actually something you can leverage on. You can leverage your business on. So be open-minded, always look for what kind of resources you can have. You don't only have the resources yourself. Maybe someone around you has some resources that you can use, because really, there's a lot of good-hearted people that will share, especially something this good as we do. So, just put the message out there. Really, be brave, basically, to do that, because you know, we are changing the world. Yeah, are there any questions for that part? Okay, I guess not. Key activities. Yeah, what are the things that you will have to do in order to grow your business? So what do you do? What are the activities that you will do on a daily basis that do not always include just running the workshops, right? And I think I did a short list that came to my mind, and later on I can add something to it, but you can inspire from it. So organize workshops on a regular basis, right? Consistency is the key probably here, as the more experienced coaches instructors already said. Create content and share my knowledge in a disciplined manner. Again, consistency. You have to choose how you want to share the knowledge and share the content that you create. We all have knowledge. It doesn't have to be only related to Wim Hof method. It can be something that can be like complementary, right? Something that you do or know that will basically interest someone as well. Because you know, if someone is interested in Wim Hof method, they're probably interested in different kinds of things as well. So try to share as much useful knowledge as possible in a disciplined manner, of course. I don't do that yet, but I have already a plan. So I will start probably next week to do that. That's why I have zero followers on Instagram right now. Yeah.
Could I ask something to this?
Sure.
Because for me, it's quite hard. I just would like to know how you handle this. There's already so much information out there, and now so many people are posting stuff about ice baths and about the Wim Hof method on Facebook. So there's already so much out there that every time I want to post something, I think, well, it's just another post about how to do an ice bath safely.
Yeah.
So why?
Not about you.
Why?
But it wasn't done by you, because as I said before, people will not only come for the knowledge, they will come because they want to learn particularly from you. Because this is how you show who you are, and this is how they know, okay, so I think, so with who do you feel safer doing a first ice bath? With someone who you meet for the first time, or to someone who you feel you have a relationship because you have watched their content for some time now?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't I think If I can say something, Michael, for a second.
Sure, yeah.
I think it's also a point, the kind of glasses that you're looking through and the kind of glasses other people are looking through. Because if you're looking yourself in the social media right now, you have another filter. Because you follow different people than probably most of your friends. And the people you're following are getting more and more probably into more and more like professionals and ice baths and breathwork and stuff. So you see that all the time. But probably a lot of your friends in your friends list, they don't follow so many of these persons. So for them, it will be still new information.
Yeah, some people will feel more comfortable with someone who is calmer and maybe more like a, let's call it introvert, while someone would like to have like a fucking experience of their lifetimes where they will, you know, almost shit themselves because someone will say, okay, you have to stay in for 15 minutes in the ice bath, right? Yeah, we've been there. So you will attract the clients that will vibe with you basically. And you have to show who you are in order to attract them because, you know, it's like, in order to get to know someone, you have to say, hey, hi, I'm here. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now I get it. And thanks, Chris. This was a really good view on this.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris, very much. Yeah. Maintain relationships with my potential and present clients. This goes again with the content and actually with the, you know, you can have like a closed group on Facebook for the participants in your workshop, right? You can share content that is exclusive for them. So you maintain the relationship and maybe they will come back again for a different kind of workshop. So maybe they will refer you to some of their friends and family. You know, you never know. You just keep them in the loop as well. Plus, you know, it's an experience like this, a workshop is something deeper than just a, you know, a regular one, because we've all basically experienced this, right? So you have a bonding experience for a workshop like this. And this is actually something that I didn't think about, but the key resource that you will have later on is that you put someone through an experience which is pretty intense and pretty deep. So it's not like you get to know really them, the real them. And people don't have a lot of relationships like this. So, you know, you will show your vulnerability and they will show it as well. So you'll have a deeper connection with them. The other thing is constantly acquire new knowledge. So it's easy for me because I'm a compulsive learner, so I have to like always search for something new because this is basically my cocaine. So this is easy for me, but I guess everyone should be on the know what's going on. Check what are the needs of my audience. So if you have a close Facebook groups, you have a direct contact to the group that you already have a relationship, you can ask them, okay, guys, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What kind of workshops or what kind of activities do you want to have? And this opens up new possibilities for growing your business and growing your brand as well. You don't have to test it. All you have to do is ask. People love to give advice and they are pretty open about it, especially to someone they like and they have a relationship with. And people will cheer you on, and they would love you to actually succeed. Figure out new ways to provide. Yeah, this is actually what I said before. So is that sound clear? I ramble a little bit, so sorry for that.
Yeah, it's good. It's very clear.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Key partners, and this is something that we basically covered a little bit from the other parts as well. Who are my partners that can help me growing my business? What I can provide for their clients or they for mine? What resources can they have that can help me? And this is a list that I just, you know, thought about. And key partners, the venues basically themselves, like we said yesterday, event companies, my own clients, Wim Hof Method platform, fellow instructors, complimentary service providers, social media platforms, ice and food delivery companies, media influencers, whatever. When I figure out the key partners of ice and food delivery, this is basically the ones that will help you with the logistics. So I've decided to put them in because this is simple things that people sometimes forget about, but I think it would be great that you have like some partners that you already tested them and they are reliable. What do you think, Anna?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I work with same people for the ice and for the food. And now also something that I'm thinking of to give extra to the people, to talk to companies, let's say with very natural drinks, for example, that they don't have any, they don't put anything in, they're very clean and natural. Yeah.
Without sugar and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's extra, you know, value to the people because usually for them it's not a problem to give you 20, 30 bottles of the drink and they do a promotion of the product because the people that come are really their straight target. And with water also because there are some companies here like even for the food, if you can find a new company that it wants to become like more mainstream in your place and they offer mm-hmm. vegan or healthy food or whatever, you can talk to them, you do a promotion to them and they give you some discount or whatever. Mm. I also believe that we don't have to always ask for free with our partners, you know, trying to get free things. But it is possible to have a conversation because in this case, it's a win-win situation. They mm-hmm. get straight away to their target, people that they look for healthy lifestyle or whatever. And yeah, you get also some extra value to the people.
Yeah. So in other business that I have, which we do like calligraphy workshops, we have partnerships with some of the art suppliers. And we've never asked for free stuff. We waited for them to actually propose some stuff for them from their side because we were their clients already. So yeah, maybe, you know, you can pay for some of it and then you can share like, I don't know what, a tag on Instagram of theirs as well. And they can see that they have other value as well, not only being a supplier.
Exactly. I always, after the workshops with the photos we make, I always tag them in the post with special thanks to our partners that provided us amazing food and drinks and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, sure. And media, journalists, influencers, you can ask influencers. But from my experience, actually asking influencers for them to come for free, it doesn't always count. It doesn't always converts very well. Sometimes they are dicks, so I would rather have a cool person who is committed and pays than someone like that. But you know, maybe you have someone who has a large following, but is your friend, and you know it's cool. So yeah. And the last one is the cost structure, the most exciting one, but not really. But it is actually quite crucial because people sometimes forget about that. You know, organizing this, and they usually think, oh yeah, I can charge this for that and discount this times this, I'll have this kind of money. And then they don't put it hold the cost, and then they can be surprised because they gave too many discounts and they basically break even only. So it's like I'm not a fan of discounts myself, but you know. So what do you have to pay in order to provide your services, and what are the fixed costs and what are not the fixed ones? So I basically divided it to the fixed ones, and this can differ from any of you because we are in different industries, spaces, experiences, we have different resources. So I would say for myself, fixed one is website hosting software that I do, that I work with, when it comes to graphic design or newsletters and stuff like that, and venues, because I plan to actually lease a venue later on for my own to have a small studio This is my plan basically, but you know, so I put it in fixed and as well as flexible, because venues as a partner, you have like a flexible one, flexible rate, because maybe first time they will charge you this, and then you can basically, I don't know, maybe negotiate a little bit different. So it can change. The equipment that you need, the baths, the pools, whatever, the ice, the water, the food, the marketing. The marketing, sometimes I know people are actually shy about marketing a little bit, but you know, marketing is you know, the content that you provide. What is the cost of the content? You know, maybe you want to have like a Facebook ads, if you'd like, right? You want to promote your event there as well. Consider it. How much of this budget goes to for one participant? What is the cost of getting one participant when it comes to marketing? Maybe you would like to have an assistant for the workshops, right? I don't believe in working for free, so I will always pay someone if I need someone. So, and the other thing is, things that we don't usually consider is our time, our emotional costs, because sometimes the money isn't worth the emotional cost. So at some point you will want to actually maybe pay someone to do something that is quite costly emotionally for you. And this is something that I think everyone should learn to do in any kind of endeavor that they do, because my state of being as being like good one is quite, it's basically, I cannot transfer it to money. So I'd rather pay someone if something is very taxing for my emotions. So yeah, and your time, of course. Yeah. So this is basically it. If you have any questions, I can now stop the share. Where is it?
Will you share these slides, Michael?
Yeah, I will share the presentation. I will export it as a PDF. So you will have a file where you can basically get a notepad and just write it down for yourself. If you'd like, you can copy it from me as well. If you'd like, I don't mind. If you have any questions in the future about something, you can just hit me up on WhatsApp, on Facebook, or whatever. I love working on that. So for me, it's a pleasure to actually do that. So I usually have it all in my mind already right now, because I've done so many of these. So you know, I love this. This is kind of a weird hobby, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael. Yeah. This is really, informational and inspiring.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I hope that everything was concise and understandable. If something wasn't, if you'd like me to clear something out, and if you'd like to maybe have another presentation on targeting the audience that you have and maybe building up a simple client avatar that you want to basically target to, we can do that as well. There are simple frameworks that we can do just for you to, you know, just to start, you know.
Yeah, that would be much appreciated.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining. It was awesome to see your beautiful faces. I'm going to stop the recording now.